Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Catechism 2021. It is the 22nd Lord's Day. Continuing on with these questions and lessons on the Holy Spirit, we'll pray and we'll get right into it. Lord, we thank you for this Lord's Day. Thank you for the salvation that you've given us in Christ, the forgiveness of sins, a relationship with you that will never end, the hope and the promise of eternal life. Father, we pray that you would stir our hearts and our minds to the things of Christ this morning. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, the Lord's Day, number 22. Question 57. Oh, by the way, what I'm going to do is go through the questions and the memory verse, and then I have one cross-reference that I'll bring up on the screen we can look at together from 1 Corinthians 15. If you'd like to go there ahead of time, I'll have it on the screen, but 1 Corinthians 15 is a large chapter all about the resurrection. It is probably the go-to verse for anything that has to do with Christ's resurrection, our resurrection in the future, and how those two things are related, and the certainty that we can have of the resurrection, and how all of Christianity and our hope is based on the resurrection. So 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to get there ahead of time. Question 57, how does the phrase, the resurrection of the body, comfort you? Not only my soul will be taken immediately after this life to Christ, its head, but even my very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. Some terrific cross-references here. It's not a huge list. Some of these questions have a massive list of cross-references. But I'm telling you, these are some terrific, hope-giving, explicitly clear passages on the future hope of resurrection. So we see two things here, resurrection of the body, two things in the answer. The first has to do with what happens in between our bodily death on the one hand and our bodily resurrection on the other hand. When our bodies die, our souls go immediately to be with Christ, and then in the end, our bodies will be raised with a glorious body like Christ's body and reunited with our souls. You see that in passages on the return of Christ, his church returns with him. So those souls made righteous and perfect in heaven return with Christ and receive their resurrection bodies. Question 58. How does the phrase life everlasting comfort you? And don't ever miss the practical application that these points of doctrine have, and this one is so clear. The doctrine of everlasting life and resurrection glory is supposed to comfort us in a world of trials, difficulties, and sufferings, and sickness, and evil, and violence, and all kinds of things. You could go on and on as well as I could. We have the comfort of life everlasting. Even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, and that's true if we've come to Christ in faith, we already begin to experience joy in the heart. So after this life, I will have perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally. And so that which is true now, in principle, in our hearts, will come to its full fruition, its fullest expression of life everlasting in the presence of God, in glory forever with him. And that's my little summary way of talking about what salvation is or what eternal life is. It's a relationship with God that will never end. It begins in this life, and we experience it now by faith, but we one day will experience it by sight in its fullest expression. Commit to heart, 1 John 3:2. What a terrific memory verse. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be, so it goes from present to future, we are his children now, present, what we will be, future, has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, that's referring to Christ, when Christ appears, which is one of the ways of talking about his coming, his second coming, his appearing, his revelation, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So you see the connection there between seeing Christ as he is and being transformed to be like Christ. Now we see him by faith and we're growing into his likeness always imperfect in this age while we dwell in the flesh. But when we see him by sight, when he is visible to us, he will transform us to be like him. Here's that cross-reference, 1 Corinthians 15:42 through 45. Now, understand I'm plucking this out of a larger discussion, taking it out of its context, but the entire context here is Paul proving that the resurrection of the body is real. It was real for Christ. It will be real for the believers. And there's many different aspects of how he's arguing and how he's applying that. But I'm picking this paragraph out because it gives the contrast, the most basic contrast between our bodies now and our bodies as they will be in resurrection glory. Here we go, verse 42. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, that's our bodies now. What is raised is imperishable, that will be our bodies in resurrection glory, as Christ's body is right now. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Glory, so imperishable bodies we'll have a body that is raised in glory, and that is contrasted with dishonor. Anything that falls short of heavenly glory, of resurrection glory, of perfect righteousness. And we know that our bodies now are plagued by sin, given over unto death, but they will be raised imperishable and in glory. Continuing on, it is sown in weakness, and certainly we know that about ourselves. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. That means a body that is characterized at every point by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. It will no longer be given to the flesh. Paul contrasts what is fleshly and what is fallen with what is spiritual and what is earthly. So that's again referring to perfected, being perfected in glory, a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. And you remember that as God created Adam out of the dust and breathed life into him to make him alive. Then there's a semicolon, and now it contrasts the risen Christ with the first man, Adam. The first man, Adam, became a living being, semicolon. The last Adam, who is Christ, became a life-giving spirit. And that's who Christ is right now. That's what Christ is right now. He lives in heaven, and he is life-giving spirit. Through the preaching of the gospel, through the power of the Spirit, Jesus Christ gives life to dying sinners. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks for joining, and I'll see you tomorrow for Confession of Faith, week 22, and I'll see you next Sunday for the 23rd Lord's Day. God bless you.